Old Joshua called 12 men to come wade in the water with me. They wrestled out 12 big old stones, a memorial to be. Well, one by one they stacked them stones before God's people's eyes, just to be a landmark on the shore after all of them died. After all of them died.
Stacked them stones one on another, stacked them stones for all to see. Stacked them stones one on another, stacked them stones for you and me.
For the children to see.
Song that expressed how my heart feels this morning, that's definitely it. Amen. It's been a while since I've stood up here to preach. I've not been a stranger standing here, but I have certainly been a stranger to preaching from here. And I'll just tell you the honest truth. I had not planned on getting back in the pulpit until after the first of the year. I just felt like that was that was a good time to start back. Was the new year, and we on up here. All right, good deal. Everything sound all right? Everything all right back there? Evidently so. Okay. All right. Everything good? Volume wise, everything. I'll let y'all fix all that. But anyway, it's it was definitely a surprise when Brother Martin told me at 8:10, Brother Brandon ain't gonna be able to be there, and I didn't know what I was gonna do. I wasn't prepared, and God led me to this message, and so I'm going to preach it this morning, and I hope and pray that it helps somebody. I know that God doesn't make mistakes. I know that God doesn't have whoops and uh-oh moments, and I know that what looks like a mess to us sometimes, God takes and uses. He draws straight lines with crooked sticks. And I know there's somebody in here this morning that needs this message, or I wouldn't be preaching it. I wouldn't be the one up here delivering it. We need to lift up Brother Martin and Sister Martha and pray that God would get Brother Martin back up and going again so he can be back here with us. But anyway, let's get in the Bible this morning and let's read. I want you to turn to Acts chapter 20. Acts chapter 20, we're going to look at verses 17 through 21 this morning. And Acts 20, verses 17 through 21. I'll give you just a moment to find that. Acts 20, 17 through 21. If you found that, say amen. All right. Acts 20, 17 through 21, the Bible says, "And from Miletus he sent to Ephesus and called the elders of the church. And when they were come to him, he said unto them, Ye know, from the first day that I came into Asia, after what manner I have been with you at all seasons." In other words, Paul's saying, I didn't change. Paul said, I'm the same guy I've always been, right? He said, you know, he said, from the first day, he said, you know how I have been in all seasons. Didn't change, amen. Serving the Lord, and here's how he was, and here's how he didn't change. Look here. Serving the Lord with all humility of mind. We talked about that in Sunday school this morning, how we ought to be humble. Our minds ought to be humble. We ought never, look up here, young people, we ought never think of ourselves to be something we're not. We ought never brag of ourselves to be something we're not. We ought never puff ourselves up and try to be somebody we're not. Paul said, and Paul, if anybody could have puffed themselves up, it was certainly the Apostle Paul. He was smarter than anybody he was talking to. He had better, he come from a better family than the majority of all the people that he talked to, with the exception of maybe some kings and governors. But Paul had a lot to brag about and be boastful of, but he didn't. He said, I was humble. I had humility of mind. He said, and with many tears. So he wasn't so manly he couldn't cry. Right? He wasn't only just humble, but he also, he had a compassionate heart. With many tears and temptations. So Paul wasn't living life out of a silver spoon. Paul had a tough time in the midst of all that. He said, I kept going. All the time, I was consistent. I was the same guy, humble, not thinking I was better than anybody, compassionate, with a broken heart, not for myself, not weeping, not crying for myself, but weeping for others. And he said, and in temptations, I went through all kinds of troubles. He said, which befell me by the lying in wait of the Jews. He was saying, everywhere I went, not only did I have a broken heart and I knew I wasn't somebody puffed up, but also everywhere I went, I had people, my own kinfolks, my own relatives, my own people were trying to, they were waiting and trying to catch me, lying in wait, hiding out, trying to trip me up, trying to get me put in jail, trying to get me killed, trying to rob me, trying to do everything they could to cause me harm. And notice the next words he says here. And how I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you. What's he saying? I gave you everything I had. I gave everything I had. I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but have showed you and have taught you publicly. He wasn't shy about his message. No, he was very public about it. He said, I taught you publicly. Amen. And I'm going to say this morning. Don't get caught up in this whole hoopla over this Duck Dynasty mess. Everybody's done heard about it by now. Okay? Phil Robertson, and I didn't intend to talk about this, but I think I will just anyway, and then we'll pray. We'll get started in a minute. Don't get caught up in this mess. Phil Robertson stood up, and actually he said something very crude. His comments were vulgar, okay? He could have said it a whole lot better way than he said it, okay? Part of the problem was the shock value of what he said, okay? But he did take a stand for a man and a woman versus two men or two women. And I applaud his moral stand. But at the same time, you have to understand that he has not become a hero. Okay? Because he is a water dog. So what's a water dog? He's one of them that believes that baptistry has some power to save you. Hey, they teach that Jesus is the Savior, but the sins get washed away in the baptistry, not when we repent and believe upon Christ. But that water in the baptistry, when we're obedient to Jesus, that's what washes our sins away is when we go into the water. Now, listen. Don't get sucked into the whole hooray for Phil Robertson. Phil Robertson, all he did, in my opinion, was make it harder for everybody else. He should have never been interviewed by a worldly, filthy magazine to begin with. He put himself in a position. He should have never been on that TV hawking all that junk to begin with. Amen? If he wanted to preach his message, hey, he looked for a platform, but he got the wrong one. Hey, he ought to get the right message first of all, get saved, and then go preach Jesus instead of, never mind, I just said all that to say nothing, I guess. But anyway, I'm using that because I'm reading this, I kept back nothing. Okay? Don't go to looking at people like him and think, wow, man, he just told them. He told them, boy, he told them. That's not the message. The message is Christ. He said, how I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but have showed you and taught you publicly and from house to house. What did you teach publicly? What did you teach from house to house? He said, I testified both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ, which is the message that must be preached. We must preach repentance towards God. Repentance, turning from a life of sin and turning to Christ and being born again. Amen? It's not just a sweet little prayer and ask Jesus to come into your heart. You must come under conviction of the Holy Ghost or it will not happen. Amen? Repentance is wrought by the Holy Ghost of God. It's not something man can do. It's not a decision you can make on your own. God has to be at work. Amen? that statement, I kept back nothing, is what we're going to dwell on this morning. Let's go to the Lord in word of prayer this morning. Our Father in heaven, Lord, we need you today. I need you. Father, I need you to help me preach this message. Lord God, I know there's more here than we have time to sit and listen to. Lord, help me to say exactly what ought to be said in the manner that it ought to be said. I pray, Father, you take control of this vessel, Lord. You fill me with the power of the Holy Ghost. You give me unction this morning. Speak through me the words you'd have me speak, Father. I pray, Lord, for your total, absolute control. Lord Jesus, speak and touch the hearts of the people that are here and those who listen on the internet. Lord, we need you this morning. We pray for your power in Jesus' name. Amen. I kept back nothing. Let me ask you a question. Are you able to say that about yourself? I've kept back nothing. I've been all for Jesus. I've given all for the Lord. I've kept back nothing. My second question to you. When I preach this message and it comes to an end, and the invitation is done, and we get ready to walk out of here, look up here at me. Will you be able to say that? I kept back nothing. I didn't stand at the pew and hang on to something that I knew I should have dealt with God about. I came and got it over with. I came and I poured it out to God. I came and let God deal with me. I kept back nothing. Will you be able to say that when the invitation is done? Will you be able to say that when you come to the end of your life? I kept back nothing. I'm sure this morning there are people all over Lamar County. I'm sure there's not a lot of people, but there are two or three, maybe four people in Lamar County this morning who are on their deathbed. And they're staring at the end of their life. And they're thinking those things in their head. Will you be able to say when you come to that point in your life, I kept back nothing. I gave my all for Jesus. I gave him back what he gave to me. He gave me life and I gave him my life. Amen? Will we be able to say that when we come to the end of our days? What a wonderful message to put on your tombstone, huh? I kept back nothing. Wouldn't that be great? Be able to put that on your tombstone with confidence. I kept back nothing. Paul said it. He said, I fought a good fight. I kept the faith. I finished my course. What's he saying? I kept back nothing. Amen? Are you keeping back something this morning? Before I preach this message this morning, I want to remind you something that God the Father kept back nothing. He didn't hold back anything. Amen? In Psalm 100, verse 3, the Bible says, Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. God, when God put Adam in the Garden of Eden, guess what he did? He gave him everything he needed. Right? It wasn't nothing he didn't need. God kept back nothing. Matter of fact, he even made a helpmeet for him out of the rib of his side that he opened up and formed a woman. Amen? I ain't got time to read all those verses. Amen? But I will read where Adam said in Genesis 2, verse 23 through 25, Adam said, This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. He was saying, there's no more she and I. It's just us from now on. Amen? She shall be called woman because she was taken out of a man. She completed him. Once she was put back into her place that God gave her, they could accomplish anything together. God didn't keep back anything. Amen? Once a man and a wife stop trying to live separate lives and they become one, amen, there's nothing they can't accomplish together. Amen? God gave him exactly what he needed when he gave him a helpmeet. Therefore shall a man leave his father and mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. And they were both naked, the man and his wife, and were not ashamed. They were happy together as God made them. That's God really not keeping anything back. Amen? They were fine until sin came in. God gave them everything they needed to begin with. Kept back nothing. Amen. The God the Father kept back nothing. In Galatians 4, 4 and 5, the Bible says, But when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. God kept back nothing. When the fullness of time was come, in other words, and when it was the time that God had preordained and predestined, Jesus Christ came into this world to be our all in all. To be our all sufficient. I mean, he meets the need of a sinner's heart. He meets the need of a sinner's life. He meets the need of a sinner's soul. He meets the need. He gave us exactly what we need. Somebody said J-E-S-U-S. Stands for Jesus exactly suits us sinners. Amen? God the Father didn't hold anything back. He gave us the very best. Amen? The world shouldn't be celebrating materialism. It ought to be celebrating Christ, the greatest gift that ever was, salvation. Listen, if this world wasn't so wicked and on its way to hell, amen, every station on the television, every station on the radio would be preaching the message of salvation. Amen? The true and blessed gospel that Christ came into the world to save sinners and to redeem man back from an awful eternity in the lake of fire and brimstone. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. He gave his only begotten Son. He gave his only begotten Son. God gave it. He kept back nothing. He let the very thing that he loved more than anything in the world, he let him come down here to us to be despised and rejected of men, hated and scorned, spit on, mocked, crucified, beaten. Which leads me to God the Son. God the Son kept back nothing. He laid aside his glory in heaven. You ever wonder what Jesus looks like? Well, the Bible describes him on the Mount of Transfiguration. You ever wonder what heavenly Jesus looks like? His face shines like the sun. And that's only a description because God has to put it in terms where we can grasp it and understand it. I've often thought about what that must look like to look at somebody's face and I can't look. We've all tried to look at the sun. Kind of hard to do, isn't it? One moment it's bright, and the next minute you're seeing a black spot. We're not able to focus on the sun, but God used the brightness of that to describe the brightness of the face of Jesus Christ. His face shone as the brightness of the sun. His clothes as the firmament. Amen. He glowed and shined in brightness. That's what Jesus set aside and took upon himself, the robe of flesh, of weakness, made out of dirt. Amen. Sam wrote that song day after day, and I know you probably got that line from what I preached on the fact that we're just dirt held together by God's grace. And we are. We're just dirt. Amen? That's why they say ashes to ashes, dust to dust. I mean, we're going to turn back to dust. You leave me in the ground long enough, I'll become a dirt clod. Amen? That's all this body is dirt. Jesus laid aside the bright and shining glory of heaven to put on lowly flesh and be despised. He kept back nothing. He let Herod's soldiers laugh at him, and he did nothing. He let them do it. They mocked him. They scorned him. They laughed at him. They made jokes about his appearance. They made jokes about his claims. He let them mock him. You say, how do you know he let them? Well, I remember times in the Bible where God said, that's enough, and open up the earth and let the earth swallow up people whole and stuff like that. And fire fell down from heaven and destroyed people. I mean, he could have done that. He could have called down 10,000 angels and slew every soldier of Herod right there on the spot. But he led them. He gave everything. He didn't keep back anything. They cleared their sinuses and they hawked up a big old nasty spit wad and they spit it in his face. And it ran down his beard. And he led them. Why? Because he kept back nothing for me and you. Not only that, he let them take their hands and grab his beard and rip it from his face. And I never really appreciated that until I grew my beard out and I realized how bad it hurts when somebody grabs hold of it and yanks on it. Every time I've had a kid climb up my lap and they put their elbow right there on it, and as they're climbing up, I feel just how tender that can be. But to think of somebody taking their handfuls, I'm talking about grown men taking handfuls of hair and wrapping it up in their hands and just yanking it out of his face. Don't think one second Jesus had this neat little trim beard, you know, that he had clippers out or anything. No, he was a man in those times, and I'm assuring you his beard was longer than most people keep their beards. I don't know if it was this long, but it was long. They ripped his hair out of his face. He had blood running all over himself from his face from where they ripped his beard out. They whipped him with that cat of nine tails. I've given you the description so many times, but they ripped his flesh to ribbons, and then they nailed him to that cross. At no point did he say, "Stop, that's enough. It hurts." I don't read anywhere in the whole text where Jesus said, "Stop, it hurts." Look up here. Don't be looking down there. Look up here. He gave everything. He kept back nothing. He kept back nothing. God kept back nothing. God the Father, God the Son kept back nothing. He was buried and he rose again. He gave his body. He gave his soul. He gave his life. He kept back nothing. And I know we might say, well, sure, you're talking about God. You're talking about God the Father. You're talking about God the Son. Yes, God's love. God's perfect. God, of course God didn't keep back anything. Well, let's look at the Apostle Paul. He was a man. He was a man. He's a pattern to us, the Gentiles. He's a pattern to the church. In 1 Corinthians 11:1, the Bible says, but Paul said, "Be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ." He said, "I'm a follower of Christ. You be a follower of me. As I follow Christ, you follow me. I'm going to show you how to follow Christ." He kept back nothing. He gave him an example. He told us he did it with humility of mind and with many tears and temptations, and he kept back nothing. As I quoted earlier to you, he said in 2 Timothy 4:7-8, "I have fought a good fight." I kept back nothing. I fought a good fight. Put my all into it. Amen? I used to watch boxing. I don't hardly ever see boxing. Boxing ain't on much anymore, and you got paid to watch it anyway. I don't pay to watch stuff like that. But the times I have watched boxing, man, I tell you what, you watch a good fight, exciting. See a guy, come through it and knock somebody flat and get up, and he's okay. Man, it was a good fight. Well, what a good fight you fought there. That was a good fight. Paul had a pretty serious opponent, and you and I do as well. You know what? Our opponent never gives up. Our opponent will outlive us. Amen? Because he's spiritual, and he doesn't have an earthly body. So from the cradle to the grave, we have an opponent. From the cradle to the grave, Paul had an opponent. His flesh and blood, just like we are. He faced that opponent just like we do. Paul said, "Hey, I fought a good fight." Amen? Why? Because he kept back nothing. He doesn't say, "For a while I fought a good fight, and then part of the time I was on the enemy's side, and then I came back and I fought a good fight some more. And then I went back and I fought with my enemy on his side, and then I changed teams and came back and fought some more. No, I fought a good fight. In other words, hey, when I come into this thing as a believer, look up at me. Quit getting sleepy. Look up at me. I'm here to preach. You're here to listen. You want to sleep? Go home and go to bed at night. Listen to the Word of God. Paul came to Christ, and Paul gave himself to Christ, and he accepted Christ as his Savior. He turned from his sins. He believed on Christ. Let me tell you something. He was all in for life. Did he have moments of weakness? I'm sure he did, just like you and I have. And I'm sure he needed those times. He had those times where he needed to rest and he needed to be rejuvenated. He needed to have his batteries charged. We all do. But he didn't quit fighting. He didn't quit fighting. He said, I finished my course. You know what I learned from that? Be a finisher, for crying out loud. If you start something, finish it. You know what they call somebody who picks a fight and then runs off? Coward. I don't want to be a coward for Christ. Amen. I want to fight the battle all the way through. Amen. He said, I've kept the faith. Amen. When I see Jesus, I don't want Jesus to say, boy, you quit on me. You were doing great, then you quit on me. Don't you know I've been tempted to quit? Hadn't you been tempted to quit? But we can't find a quitting spot. I can't tell you how many people have asked me, you still preaching? I can't find a quitting spot. Callings of God are without repentance. Amen. I can't quit. You say, have you ever thought about it? Sure, lots of times, but I hadn't quit. Why? Because I'm in this thing forever. Amen? I didn't get temporary stuff. What I got was permanent. So I see no need not to keep going. I see no need not to give Christ everything. Amen? And Paul said, henceforth, and that simply means because I have fought a good fight, because I finished, because I kept the faith in Christ, because of that, and not because of anything else, but because of those things, I know that there is, God has a crown of righteousness laid up, that means preserved for me, which the Lord himself, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but to all them also who love his appearing. All them also that love his appearing. What are you talking about? Those who keep back nothing. Those who aren't straddling the fence, partly living for the world and partly living for Jesus. Those who say, I'm going to give it all for Jesus. I'm not going to be a halfway Christian. I'm going to give it all for Jesus. And number four, we are to keep back nothing. 1 Corinthians 6, 19 and 20, the Bible, Paul said in the Word of God, what? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you and you which you have of God? And you're not your own. For you're bought with a price. What's that price? What's that price? What did it cost to buy you back? Do you know? The blood of Jesus Christ. What happens when you give all your blood? You die. He kept back nothing, didn't he? Well, when you give all your blood, you can held back nothing. That's the life. That's why God says, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. Jesus couldn't give. He couldn't have brought a little vial up there and said, hey, that'll cover it. No, he gave everything. That's the price you and I were bought with, was the blood of Jesus.
He gave his all for us. And he says, therefore, since he gave his all for you, since he held back nothing for you, therefore, it's not in the text, but it's implied, you glorify God in your body. In other words, while you're alive, in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. God says, you hold back nothing. Keep back nothing. Give me your all. Give me your life. Not so long as it works out the way you want it to, but you just give it to me. You just come to the altar someday on a Sunday morning like this, amen, and you say, Lord, I'm yours. Amen. Hey, it's Christmas time, right? Y'all all going to give somebody something, or are you going to get something from somebody or something? This time of year, people do gift giving. What a gift it would be if you came this morning and said, God, I give you all that I am. I give myself to you. You say, well, I've done that before. But are you still meaning it? Are you still doing it? Why? You know what? If you're not, maybe this morning would be a good time to re-up on that. Say, Lord, I'm giving you my all. Some people call it rededication. Some people call it surrender. Whatever you want to call it. Hey, are you keeping back anything from God? Give him all of you. Amen? First Corinthians 7:23, ye are bought with a price. Be not ye the servants of men. We're not to live for this world. Listen, we're in this world, but we're not of this world. That's why all those saints down through the ages have written them songs about this world is not my home and homesick for heaven. And listen, there's a reason why, because this world's not our home. This world is not of, we're not of this world. We're not like this world. I mean, how long are we going to take before we make our lives count? Are we going to make our lives count? Amen? You think about it. One of these days, here at this church, we're going to have our last revival meeting. One of these days, we're going to witness to somebody for the last time. We'll hold our last service here. I wonder what that last service here will be like. Will we hold anything back? Why are we holding anything back today? Amen? I ought to preach. I ought to preach like it's my last opportunity to preach every time I preach. Amen. You ought to listen like it's your last opportunity to listen every time you get opportunity to hear preaching. I mean, hey, you think about it. You get saved when you hold back nothing. If you hold back something, you don't get saved. You think about it. You won't get saved as long as you think you have to help Jesus save you. You won't get saved if you think mumbling some words to a prayer will do it for you. That won't save you either. No. It's trusting. It's believing. It ain't saying a prayer. Amen? You won't get saved until you keep back nothing and find yourself helpless before a holy God. Amen? And you trust His only begotten Son and His shed blood to save you. That's the only way you get saved. Amen? We got a lot of people today who have surrendered, but they won't submit. Well, I may be saved, but that don't mean I'm going to do everything I'm supposed to. I'm in Jesus' camp, but I'm a POW. Ever thought of that? You say, I'm in Jesus' camp, but I'm living like a POW in Jesus' camp. Some of y'all don't understand that. See, when countries go to war and one country captures somebody else's soldier from the other side, they put them in a prisoner camp. They're a prisoner of war. Now, I belong to Jesus, amen. I've been washed in His blood, but if I'm washed in His blood and yet I'm living for me and doing for me instead of living for God, instead of yielding to Him and doing what He wants me to do with my life, I'm living like a prisoner of war. You understand what I'm saying this morning? I'm living like the devil, but I'm naming the name of Jesus. I'm acting like I'm one of the devil's soldiers over here in Jesus' camp, held prisoner. You ought to give it all. You ought to keep back nothing. You ought to let Jesus do what He wants to do with you. You ought to give your all to Him, give your life to Him, and say, Lord, I don't know what Your plan is for my life, but I want to do it to the fullest. Doesn't matter where You take me. Doesn't matter what You do with me. I know You love me, and I know that You provide for me, and I know You won't ever let me fall. We ought to keep back nothing. A preacher shouldn't keep anything back in the Scriptures either. A man who'll leave something out of his sermon to spare your feelings is no true man of God and surely not your friend. Some people might say, well, if you lose your crowd if you preach like you do. Well, I'd rather lose my crowd than lose God's approval. Amen? Isaiah 58:1 says, cry aloud, spare not. Lift up thy voice like a trumpet and show my people their transgressions and the house of Jacob their sins. So what God's saying is when you preach, keep nothing back. That's what He's saying. That's God's way of doing things. God's way of doing things is to keep nothing back. Again, Paul said, I've taught you publicly and from house to house. What he was saying was Paul was the same guy, whether he was down at the synagogue or he was in their home. There wasn't no church house at the time. There were some, but I'm saying he went to the synagogue first, preaching to the Jews. When the Jews wouldn't hear him, he went to the homes of the Gentiles. He was the same person no matter where he was at. You know why he was the same person? Because he kept back nothing everywhere he was. He was wide open all the time. Amen? He didn't say one thing at church and then change it later. Amen? He said, I kept back nothing and he meant it. Paul kept back nothing in serving God. I'm almost done, y'all. He kept back nothing in serving God. Paul, you think about Paul. Paul had been a faithful servant of Satan. He had been. Paul, you got to admire him. I mean, he kept back nothing no matter who he was serving. He kept back nothing when he was serving the devil because he fought to destroy the Lord's church. He gave everything he had to try to destroy the way, Christ. He tried to destroy the message of salvation. He tried to destroy all those who followed the message of salvation. He tried to destroy all those who preached the message of salvation. But now, he fought for the right team, and he kept back nothing. Amen. Once he got up, he got baptized, and he preached so good and so hard that they had to let him out in a basket down the wall because people wanted to kill him because he held back nothing. Amen? Paul went down to a city called Lystra, and he healed a crippled man. And the people that were there, they thought that him and Barnabas were Mercury and Jupiter, thought they were other gods. And I mean, they started worshiping them, and they said, hey, we're not those people. Hey, we're servants of the Most High God. And man, they didn't like that. So they picked up a bunch of rocks, and they started stoning. And when they hit Paul enough times, it killed him. You know why? He kept back nothing. He kept back nothing. They drug him out to the city. out of the city. They threw him on the side of the road like a dead dog in a ditch. The other believers gathered around him on the side of the road and they prayed. Guess what happened? He lived. God raised him up. You know what he did the next day? Went home and rested, right? No. He went down to a city called Derby and he preached. Wrapped up in bandages, blood poking through the bandages. And he's down there. I'm sure there's some people thought, this guy ain't going to make it through the message. I mean, look at the cuts on him, the bruises. I mean, you know he had to have been bruised horribly. And yet, what did he do? Kept back nothing. Man, what a man he was. History tells us that he was a small man, frail. But what a man. He wasn't some macho guy with bulging, rippling muscles. He was a weak, short little man. But he kept back nothing. 2 Corinthians 11:23 through 28. The Bible says, are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more. In labors, this is Paul describing his life and the way he did things. In labors more abundant, I do more, he said, than other preachers I know. In stripes above measure, I've been whipped more than any preacher I know. In prisons more frequent, I go to prison more than any preacher I know. In deaths oft, how many other people have died and been raised from the dead? Anybody know? That's what he's asking. Amen. Besides Jesus, any other preachers y'all know that have died and have been raised from the dead? Of the Jews, 5 times I received 40 stripes, save one. 5 times. Let me see if I can do a little math. 5 times 40, well, we know that's 200. And you take away, I mean, that's 195 lashes with a nine-tailed whip. How many is that, Lonnie? Can you figure that up? 195 times 9? Tell me how many times? Huh? 1,755 scars across his body. 1,755? 1,755 times some sharp instrument dug into his flesh and sliced him open? And he kept back nothing? Have you ever had one? Have anybody in here ever had one furrow dug across your hide because of your belief in Christ? No. We have no idea what it's like to suffer for Christ. None. Man, I mean, I realize I can't compare myself to Christ, but I could lay myself down next to Apostle Paul and say, oh my goodness, I'm nowhere close to measuring up to that guy. He put on his pants the same way I did. Yes, Christ came down here and humbled himself and wore a robe of flesh, and yeah, he was tempted in every manner as I am, but you could still say, yeah, but he was God. But Paul wasn't. And he kept back nothing. Why? Because he was following Christ. Same person we're following. Not quite as well as he did, though, I might add. 3 times, 3x, I was beaten with rods. By the way, those rods, that's sticks, big sticks. Amen? If you was beaten with a closet rod, that'd be enough. I have a feeling these were harder and more dense than those closet rods you hang your clothes on. But just imagine if somebody whooped you with a pool stick. Amen? On three different occasions, you were beat down with a pool stick. Paul was, something like that. He said, once I was stoned. He's talking about what happened at Lystra where they killed him. 3 times suffered I shipwreck. A night and a day have I been in the deep, all day and all night, floating in the deep, in the ocean. in journeyings often, I was always going somewhere, in perils of waters, lots of times we thought we weren't going to make it and we were in the water, in perils of robbers, lots of times I was robbed and I didn't think I was going to live through it, in perils by mine own countrymen, those Jews are always after me, in perils by the heathen, in perils of those Gentiles, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness or out in the country, in perils in the sea, perils. Y'all know what peril means. That means, I don't think we're going to make it. When you're in peril, it means it's dire. It's one of those, there was a show used to be on TV, I don't know if it's on there anymore, but it's called I Shouldn't Be Alive, where these people would tell their stories of what they lived through. Boy, the Apostle Paul could have a fantastic episode of I Shouldn't Be Alive. Yeah, they could do a whole series on him, whole year series on him. He says, I was in perils amongst false brethren. They told me they were Christians, but then when I got around them and got to finding out about them, I found out these were a bunch of fakes, and they just wanted to get rid of me. In weariness, I was tired, wore out. Painfulness. I guess so, 1,755 stripes across your body. That would do something to your nerve endings and your muscle tissue. In watchings often, in other words, he was looking for help. In hunger and thirst. Didn't have nothing to eat. Didn't have nothing to drink. In fastings often. In cold and nakedness. His clothes wore out. Barely had anything on. Freezing. He said, and beside all those things which are without, all those things happened to the outside of me. He said, then there was the care of all the churches. Do you think about, I look at Paul and I say, what a man. What a man. I'm not here to glorify man. I'm not here to glorify man and lift up man, but I'm just simply saying, when I sit and look at what all the Apostle Paul went through, I say, my soul, what a man to have lived that life, and what a Savior he served that would give him the drive, the tenacity to keep going day after day, day in and day out through everything he faced and not quit. Not duck his head, not tuck his tail, not let his sails down, but kept right on going. And was able to say, I kept back nothing. He didn't say, oh, well, there was that one time. No, I kept back nothing. Well, surely he did. No, God wouldn't have let him put it in his Bible if there would have been a time where he gave up. You remember there was a time when John Mark didn't want to go on? God put that in the Word. There was a time when Demas forsook him. He put that in the Word. Amen. But Paul, I kept back nothing. I kept back nothing. Now, can I ask you a couple questions and we'll go to the house? What are you keeping back from God today? What are you keeping back from God? Are you letting him have all of you? Look up here. Everybody yawning over here like we've been up all night, sitting up here, been up all night. Did y'all stay up all night? Huh? Well, then pay attention to what God's Word is saying to you. When you look at yourself, we've looked at God the Father and what He done. He kept back nothing. We looked at God the Son. He kept back nothing. We looked at a guy like the Apostle Paul. He kept back absolutely nothing. Let's look at you. What are you keeping back? Have fears stopped you? Have troubles stopped you? Has life just gotten hard? I told you that Sunday when we were sitting down here, I said, you know, I will resign if that's what y'all want. I didn't want to resign. I don't want to quit. If I quit, I'd still have to go preach somewhere. Yeah, I took a little rest and a little break. I needed it. But I ain't quitting. I'm not patting myself on the back. I know I'm nothing. I'm just telling you, I have to look myself in the mirror. God called me to this. I have to finish it. Why? Because I love Him. That's why. And He gave His all for me, and I have to give my all for Him. And He gave His all for you. And you have to ask yourself, and you need to let God show you. You need to let the Holy Ghost of God show you this morning what you're holding back. Are you keeping back something from God? And if you are, you got to ask yourself this: why won't I give my whole life to Him? Why won't I surrender all of me to Him? Don't be selfish toward God. He wasn't selfish toward you when you needed a perfect Savior, was He? He's not selfish toward you. No, He gave you the very best. He gave you the very best that heaven had. And He's still going to give you the very best that heaven offers when you get there. Give your best for Him. James 1, 23 and 24, and we're done. James said, "For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer." You know, I expect there may be people in here this morning who've sat and yawned their way through this service and heard it, but they're not going to do anything about it. Happens a lot. People sit and they daydream and they yawn and they stretch and they doodle and think about this and think about that. And they hear it, but they ain't going to do anything about it. Bible says if any be a hearer and not a doer, he's like a man beholding his natural face in a glass. Well, I've got my phone up here, and it's almost like a mirror. I can see myself in it. And I can look in it, and I can see what I look like. It's like a man beholding his natural face in a glass. And the Bible says, "For he beholdeth himself." Well, I see what I look like. "And he goeth his way." In other words, he goes about his day. "And straightforward he forgetteth what manner of man he was." You're not looking at yourself anymore, so you'll go about your life and go about your day and you'll forget all about what you look like. Well, can I tell you something? When you look in God's holy word, it does the very same thing. It shows you who you are on the inside. And if you don't deal with it, look up here. If you don't deal with it when God shows you, you'll walk away and you'll forget that you need to deal with it. The Holy Ghost of God may have spoke to you this morning about something in your life. And if you just gloss it over and smooth it over and say, "Oh, well, I'll deal with it later," you may not ever be dealt with again. This morning, right now, God has put His finger on it. Deal with it. Get it right. And don't keep nothing back from God. Let's stand together. Our Father in heaven, we love You this morning. And we pray that You might move in this invitation, Father. I pray, Lord, for folks that You've dealt with already, Lord, that they might make their way to the altar even now. And Lord, that You might have Your way in this invitation. Oh, Lord, we need You today. Talk to us, deal with us, speak to us, touch us. Meet our need, Father. We pray in Christ's name. Amen.
another, stacked in stones.